We thought, or Andy and Miff thought, that they'd really like to acknowledge you and the various places and peoples represented here today. So from St. Alfred's, this church, is David Sharrock here? David, would you like to just wave your hand? David is one of the wardens of the church here at St. Alfred's. From the Salford Park Bible Study Group, Ian and Grace, would you just wave if you're here? There they are in the front, a Bible study group at the Salford Park, a retirement village, praying for Andy and Miff. From St. Barnabas Anglican Church, I've seen Brian before, but if you're from St. Barney's, just wave, give us a wave. Thank you. From Moongarra, the Moongarra group at Lilydale Uniting, Tara, thank you. And is Paul Kennedy here from St. Albans? Paul's over there. Thank you for coming all the way, Paul. Now, are you from any other group that Andy and Miff haven't put on my little sheet of paper? You represent any other church group? Yes? Where are you from, sir? Sorry? Glen Iris Uniting. Welcome. Anyone else from anywhere else? You're with MAF. How unusual that you should be here. Fantastic. Well, welcome to you too. I think that's just a small illustration of how many people are partnering with this family and have partnered with this family to send them on this great journey that they're about to embark on. Well, thank you for coming. We're about to now hear from God's Word, and Andrew is going to come and read, but he's going to hobble forward. He almost tried to get out of reading, but I wouldn't let him.
For your patience, everyone. All right, I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to chapter 2, verse 18. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whenever I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
Thanks, Ollie. Well done. Friends, if you've got a Bible, please keep them open to Philippians chapter 1, or else please follow along on the screen. As we come to God's Word, let's pray again, shall we? Dear Father, thank you for the freedom we have to look at your Word, to have it read publicly to us, and now to think upon your words together. Please fill us now with your Spirit. Please speak to us, and please help us hear you speaking your words into our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome again. It's great to be here at this commissioning service. And Andy and Miff, I know, are really pleased that you're here. And they're pleased to see you here as an expression, a small expression of your partnership with them in this gospel work that they're about to do, to set off to do. Well, what does their chosen Bible passage have to say to us as we gather together as God's people at the beginning of this great gospel adventure? What does God have to say to us? I want to suggest that there are two basic important themes that run through this passage, and they correlate roughly to the first half of the reading and the second half. So let's take the first important theme. Here it is, if you're taking notes. The first important theme is that gospel humility is the key to gospel unity. Gospel humility is the key to gospel unity. Paul, the pastor and church planter, is writing to the Christians in Philippi, and notice how he opens our passage in verse 27. He says, "Whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Whatever happens, that's the call. Whether here in Melbourne or in Arnhem Land or in Mount Hagen, on official missionary service or on unofficial missionary service, the emphasis is this: live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. And what does this worthy living look like in this passage? It looks like Christian unity. Did you notice the great emphasis on unity in this part of the text? Paul calls on the Philippians to be united in the gospel, to verse 27, stand firm in the one spirit, striving together with one accord. And in chapter 2, we flip ahead to chapter 2, in verse 1, he asserts that if we are encouraged by our relationship with Christ, if we have received comfort from his love, if we have common sharing, literally fellowship in the Holy Spirit, if we have received those great spiritual gifts of tenderness and compassion, then, Paul says, then we can make his pastor's heart sing for joy. Then we can make his joy complete. How? By being like-minded, by having the same love, by being one in spirit and one in mind, by doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And then in verse 3, we have the crystal clear underlying principle. Here it is. Here's the bottom line. Verse 3 tells us that the key that unlocks the safe to the treasure of Christian unity is this: in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You see what Paul's saying here? Do you see what God is saying? Humility is the key. Humbleness of heart that values others before yourself, that views others' interests and needs and priorities before your own. Humility, that attitude to relationships that Jesus Christ had, is the key to unity. Paul gets more explicit in verse 5. He says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had." Well, what sort of humility or what kind of attitude of mind did Christ Jesus have? Wasn't any ordinary humility, was it? And here in the center of our passage, the way it's laid out on the PowerPoint obscures this, but it's a poem, probably a song, probably the first Christian song ever to be recorded. And it is a song of Jesus Christ from verse 6, "who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather he made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant And as a servant, as a human being, he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. You see, here's the gospel in song. And here is gospel humility. That Jesus Christ, though being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be hung on to, but emptied himself and further humbled himself and further served us by his death on the cross. Dear friends, please notice, humility is not powerless people just sucking it up. The humble poor, if you were. They don't have a choice. They're so humble. No, it's quite the opposite here in the Bible, isn't it? It's the powerful God, the ruler of the universe, deliberately setting everything aside and laying down his all for others, for us, even to death, death on a cross. That's the great good news of the gospel of Christ. This is the good news that Andy and Miff, you're going out to serve, isn't it? Well, what an amazing truth to lay hold of. That gospel humility, this sort of gospel humility that Jesus had, the powerful setting aside themselves to serve others, is the key to gospel unity. And it's amazing truth for Christian ministry and life in Melbourne as well, isn't it? That this is the sort of unity that binds us together, the gospel humility, as we endeavor to partner with Andrew and Miff as they go out to do this great work of God. You know, I sometimes wonder why there's so much conflict and lack of unity in life of the church around me. And much of it, especially if you're Anglican here today, revolves around serious matters of truth and doctrine. But how much of it, I often wonder, especially amongst gospel-believing, gospel-serving evangelical believers, comes down, finally, to a lack of gospel humility, a serious, sinful lack of our ability to set aside our own self-interests in order to serve others, to set aside our power, no matter how right or worthy or strategic its use might be, in order to serve others and their interests in Christ with us. Please notice the consequences of Christ's humility. Not just unity in the body, but exaltation. For from verse 9 we read, still in the song, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You see, that's the future. Humility now, but exaltation then. Servanthood, sacrifice, and suffering now, but worship, glory, and obeisance then. Well, we've started to reflect on our second theme now, and this is the second theme as we gather. The gospel promise of exaltation, the gospel promise is the key to gospel service. See, as they go out to serve the gospel, and as we endeavor to partner with them in this gospel service, this is what we need to hang on to. The gospel promise is the key to gospel service. Paul says it like this: "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling." Now, what he says there is work out your salvation, not work for your salvation, because our salvation is a free gift from God. But what he's saying is work out the present aspect of your salvation. If you've closed with Christ through the marvelous gospel of the death of Jesus Christ on your behalf, then that same gospel must be at work in you now, transforming you into a life now of gospel service, with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, working in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What is the good purpose of God? Well, you know it well from 2 Peter 3, don't you? The good purpose of God is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance and eternal life. It's the gospel promise. It's gospel service of that gospel promise. But please notice from this text that it is a sacrificial gospel service. Please scan the text with me. Verse 17, it's a service that involves sacrifice. We saw earlier in chapter 1, if you go back to chapter 1, from verse 28. It's a service that involves opposition. Verse 29 involves suffering for Jesus. Verse 30, struggle. In chapter 2 again, verse 14, now we read, Paul can write, do everything without grumbling or arguing, because evidently there'll be cause for grumbling and arguing. There'll be hard work with sacrifice and struggle. Verse 15, it will be service in the midst of a warped and crooked generation. A warped and crooked generation that will give you lots of reasons to grumble and lots of reasons for sacrifice and struggle. Now, Andy and Miff, you already know this, don't you? You already know some of the risks of flying. In your time with MAF, there's been tragedy associated with the risks of flying. You know the risks of Arnhem Land and Papua New Guinea. You know the risks of death, disease, discomfort, distance from friends, family, and your Christian community here. Yes, the privileges of gospel service are great, but so are the sacrifices and struggle. And dear friends, all of us, you've only have had to be involved in gospel service for, say, about 42 and a half seconds before you realize that there is sacrifice and suffering. And you know the truth of verse 29, that it has been granted to us on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. There is a cost of discipleship. And this warped and crooked generation, this world, will find a way to make us pay for daring to speak the name of Jesus the Savior, for daring to claim the claims of Jesus the Lord, for daring to serve the good news of Jesus our God, but serve sacrificially and with all the suffering that comes with it, we must, with the gospel promise as the key to our sacrificial gospel service. So Andy and Miff, as you go, remember, the Lord is coming again. Humility now, exaltation then. He's coming in exaltation and glory to claim the whole world and all the skies as his own. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, whether in gratefulness and love or in terror and agony. Well, Christ commissioned to each of us to proclaim the glory of his cross and to tell of God's heart for the lost souls of the world has not yet been withdrawn. So it's great that we're gathered here to partner with Andy and Miff. And as we commission these guys today, in a very real sense, we are recommissioning each other, aren't we, to this continuing sacrificial gospel service to which our Lord has called us in gospel humility and gospel unity, the kind of unity represented by our great gathering today. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word to us, and thank you that you've reminded us that gospel humility is indeed the key to our gospel unity as we endeavor to support Andy and Miff in the years ahead. Please help us when the going gets tough, and please help them when the going gets tough to remember that your gospel promises, glorious and true, are the key to our sacrificial gospel service of you. So encourage us by your word this day and sustain us and send us out with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we've heard a bit about what's been happening in the past, and we wanted to just mention a few things that are going to be happening in the future. A question that's been hanging around my head as we get closer to leaving is, why do we need to move away to work in places like Arnhem Land and PNG at all? And why have we even decided to work with MAF? Sorry, John. Christians need to work more than ever in places like Melbourne, so how can we be even half as effective in a culture that we don't know anything about? And the answer to those questions, in a nutshell, is because God has told us to go. He's guided us to join MAF by opening lots of different doors and giving me a desire to fly. He's provided training and money on numerous occasions, and he's given many of you and lots of people who aren't here a heart to support us in this work as well. In fact, we realised that this work is actually a lot bigger than just us. It'd be true if we said, you are sending us to go and do this work on your behalf. I think it's truer to say that God is using you to send us on his behalf to glorify his name in far-off places. So, yes, we think Christians do need to work more than ever in places like Melbourne, and we know that God's going to keep doing this work through you guys. And we can't wait to hear your stories about the work that you're doing back here. We're excited as well to head off and do the work that we think God has laid before us, trusting that he's going to keep equipping and training us to do exactly what he needs in those places. And of course, we look forward to sending you stories about what's happening there too. So on Friday week, we're going to drive to Arnhem Land and spend 6 months there, and then we're going to head off to PNG for a 4-year term with a view to continue after that. In both places, we'll be providing an air service to isolated people who really need it. Our friends up there say that pilots are run off their feet at the moment, so I'm expecting to be quite busy at work. I'm looking forward to the large variety of different people that I'll get to meet, and I hope that I'll connect well with them despite having brief contact often only with them. I'm particularly keen to treat people with great respect, seeing as I'm a visitor to their home, and especially because this isn't always their experience. And the flying work will continue to build very strong relationships between the local people and the wider Christian community.
Well, while Andy's off flying, I will be looking after Theo. I'll also be continuing my studies in public health and tropical medicine. I'm hoping to get involved in the community, possibly in the health field as well. One thing that I'm really looking forward to is building relationships with the local women, although in Arnhem Land this is pretty hard due to the bitter history. However, I'm really interested to learn more about the Aboriginal perspective. In Papua New Guinea, again, my role isn't very defined. I'm keen to try and help with their significant maternal and children's health problems again as well. So thanks for coming and commissioning us today and for the part you're playing by sending us into this ministry and supporting this work. You are in no small way providing services to people who really need them. That is, you're using your strengths to support our brothers and sisters' weaknesses. We expect the exchange to be two-way, though, that we will all be challenged by them and that we will also be strengthened. This will also provide opportunities to bear witness to Jesus' message. We feel very encouraged, humbled, excited and nervous about the beginning of this next stage. So, yeah, thanks for being here.
Now, Andrew and Miff have formed a formal committee to help them to manage their affairs here in Melbourne while they are flying all over the place. We'd like to introduce them to you now because you'll probably hear from them or they might come and bug you, give you nice information in some time in the future. Would the members of the committee like to come forward perhaps and then maybe Andy and Miff, you introduce them?
Sure. It might be easier if we have you say who you are and explain yourself what the role is that you'll be doing briefly. If that's right. So here
we are. So my name's Runwin and this is Sam and
we're gonna be in charge of church presentations and liaising with all the different groups that are supporting Miff and Andy. So yeah, we'll be giving regular updates to all sorts of people and groups on what they're up to and yeah, what their challenges are and stuff.
My name is Mark and this is Jenica.
And I'm the support crew and Mark's actually heading up the committee and coordinating the activities of the committee.
And my name's Ben and this is Lisa and we'll be in charge of communications. Basically emails, sending prayer letters, newsletters, and liaising between everyone. So, yeah.
And I'm Ali Kennedy, and I don't have a partner to help me with my job. So I'll just do it on my own. So I'm in charge of prayer. So I'll be organising prayer points and stuff and help the communication people do their thing.
I think it would be appropriate just to give these guys a round of applause to welcome into their roles. And in a little bit further on in the service, there'll be a chance to pray for them as well as they begin these roles. Of course. David and Rachel Williams aren't here because they're away, but they've put together a short video just to say hello to you, I think. So Isaac's going to play that now.
Hi, Miff and Andy. It's been a great pleasure mentoring you in the last couple of years. We're really praying for you as you go up to Arnhem Land and then on to PNG. We're really sorry we can't be with you.
We just thought it'd be really fun to just record this sitting next to the fire. We've had lots of fun sitting around our fireplace, talking and chatting and praying with you. We're so confident about all that God's going to do through you and in you as you head to the territory and then on to PNG. And we just want to assure you of our prayers and love for you on this special day as you're commissioned. So God bless you.
So they're pastoral care.
Oh, I wish my pastoral carer had a nice fireplace. Well, we come now to the formal commissioning part of the service, and I'm going to invite Andrew and Mifamwe to come up with Theo, and I'm also going to invite the congregation to participate, and John and Diana Wall from MAF to participate at the right time. The words we're going to use will come up on screen, but how about if Andy and Mif come up? Andrew and Mifanwi Little have responded to the call of God to offer themselves for missionary service with Mission Aviation Fellowship. We are here now to share in this their commissioning and to identify with them in their acts of service. Andy and Mif, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and do you confess anew that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour?
We do.
In response to the love and grace you have received from God, is it your desire to serve him?
It is.
Have you chosen to express this desire to serve him through Mission Aviation Fellowship?
We have.
Do you intend to be team players with your colleagues, to yield yourselves to those in authority and be faithful ambassadors of Christ wherever you serve in MAF?
We do.
I'm going to invite the congregation to stand now with us. As God's people here today, do you set aside Andrew and Mifanwi Little to serve with Mission Aviation Fellowship?
We do.
Are you willing to be a partner with them in prayer, finance, physical and emotional support as they represent us in sharing God's love with people in remote areas? Thank you. Please be seated. Here I address John and Diana Wall of MAF. John and Diana, would you please stand? Wait, there you are in the back. Excellent. John and Diana, having witnessed the setting apart of Andy and Mif by this congregation for service in Mission Aviation Fellowship, do you, on behalf of MAF, accept the responsibility to utilize their gifts, talents, and training to enable the gospel to be spread and faith nurtured in remote communities MAF serves? Thank you. Well, following the pattern of scriptures of the New Testament, and as a sign of our partnership, we are going to commission Andrew and Mifanwi through the laying on of hands. I'll try and do both of you at the same time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare you, Andrew and Mifanwi Little, as missionaries sent by St. Alfred's to serve with Mission Aviation Fellowship to extend the kingdom of God. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest on you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Friends, here at St. Alf's, we have a great tradition of more prayer is always better than less. So what we're going to do now is pray for these guys. But just before we do that, I think on the next slide, you have some prayer points that we could use. Would you like to speak to them? Good. There's lots to pray for. Okay, this is the way it's going to work. I'm going to move this furniture. They're going to stand here facing the front. And if you would like to come forward and lay hands on this wonderful family and pray for them, please do so. John, I believe, is going to open the prayers. And after the customary period of embarrassing silence, I'll close. Okay, come forward, please.
Do you know, this is my second commissioning service today. And, you know, in the room here, there are other MAF folk, Winston and Ruth down there, who have had 40 years plus with MAF. The Greys here, 25 years, Donna and I, nudging 21. And it's just, you know, in that time, we've seen a lot of people come and go from MAF. But the exciting thing for us is that the Lord keeps sending good folk to us. So we'd just like to pray that. Thank you. So Heavenly Father, what a delight it is to be here amongst people whose heart beats for you, Lord. Lord, we're all followers of you, and you've given us a job to do. Whether we do it next door or whether we go around the other side of the world is immaterial, as long as we're obedient to you. But Lord, we are here now to acknowledge Miff and Andy, who have decided to step out in faith for you and join Mission Aviation Fellowship. Lord, they don't know what that means, really. They've seen some of the stuff, but they're stepping out in faith, Lord, and trusting you. And Lord, thank you for equipping them the way you have. Lord, the gifted people, the people who could succeed anywhere in life. But Lord, they've chosen to set the secular world aside and serve you in mission. And I take my hat off to them for that. And I thank you for their courage, Lord. And I pray that you'll continue to bless and enable them. And Lord, that you'll also protect them, because where they go are places of great need and great pain, but also places of great spiritual activity. So, Lord, I'm delighted, as I hear, as I've heard being here today, that there are folk here who will be praying for Miff and for Andy. And, Lord, they will need that to be successful in their ministry with MAF. So I pray that you'll continue to encourage those prayer partners, Lord, to be the support that that Andy and Miff need. And, Lord, thank you for them. Bless them. Encourage them. Go with them and send them off with great joy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Father, we pray for Andy and Miff, and we pray for ourselves. Please make us effective and faithful in our gospel partnership together for the service of the people you call to yourself in Arnhem Land and in Papua New Guinea. Father, I pray that you would increase in them your gifts of faith and love and righteousness and holiness. And Lord, in the midst of dark places, help them to shine as your light and season their relationships as your salt. So Father, please go ahead of them, protect them, encourage them, strengthen them, grow them, and deepen their sense of your provision and their faith in you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, there'll be many, many more opportunities for you to pray with and for Andy and Miff in the seasons ahead. A word of blessing from the Scriptures. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip us with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.